So we're going to do a review of the year. So in January, I felt God was encouraging us to arise and shine, to come alive in 2025. And it rhymed, so that was probably why I chose that phrase. So we're going to review that, review the year. So this was the scripture God gave me for 2025. You can read it together with me on the screen if you like. Arise, he's talking to the prophet Isaiah, is talking to the city of Jerusalem. Arise, let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. So I think this is a great scripture for what God has been saying to us this year, that he wants his light to shine from us. Amen. And I've enjoyed all the opportunities in 2025 to meet people who don't know Jesus, to tell them about Jesus, and to let the light of Jesus shine into their lives. And where does the glory of the Lord rise according to these verses? Verse 1. On you. So tell the person next to you, the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you.
The glory of the Lord rises to shine above you.
Amen. You know, we were singing one of the worship songs that Karen chose for us this morning. We were singing about let the glory fill this place. And whenever I sing songs with words like that, I think about what that means is my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants his glory in this place, amen, to fill me. He's not into buildings anymore, he's into people. Since Jesus' resurrection, the temple, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, and God has not inhabited buildings. He's not interested in buildings since that time. And when you're in Christian meetings and they say, oh, the glory is here, that's because there's loads of believers there that are opening their hearts up to God and they're being filled with the Holy Spirit. So you are God's building and you are carrying God's glory wherever you go. Amen. And that's been true this year. And we can certainly see that darkness as black as night has covered all the nations of the earth. Amen. Most continents of the earth, there has been darkness, there's been terrorism, there's been murder, there's horrible things happening. But the glory of the Lord is rising and appearing over you. And that word you is talking about the church now in this age, since Jesus' resurrection. And it's been wonderful to meet Christians from many different countries this year. And just to see God's glory shining through them and to hear the stories of what God is doing, particularly in the Muslim nations, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, in Iran, in Iraq, in Syria, in Turkey, in Israel, in the Palestinian territories, in Jordan, in Saudi Arabia, in Egypt, in Algeria, in Morocco, in Tunisia. We've been hearing stories about how the Holy Spirit is powerfully moving. The glory of the Lord is rising on his people in these countries. And even if they're threatened with death, they are still going and sharing the good news. And all nations will come to the light of Jesus. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Amen. So that's been a great scripture for this year. So the beginning of this year, we had the Ahmed family visiting us every month. They were living in Coventry at the time. And Mark did a debate at Warwick University on the 21st of February. And Warwick University Christian Union were invited to debate the Ahmadiyya Muslim Students Association. And they let Mark choose the debate question. And he chose this question, did Jesus claim to be God? And you may remember that in that lecture, he decided to read out the whole of Isaiah chapter 53. And the Muslim imam he was debating said to Mark, after he'd finished reading Isaiah 53, he said, I couldn't quite hear that properly. Could you read it all again, please? So Mark read Isaiah 53 a second time. There were about 100 Warwick University students in this lecture theatre, half Muslims, and well, there's probably more Muslims than Christians, I think, in there. And then Mark was a bit surprised to be asked to read it a second time. And then this imam said, well, I didn't still didn't quite catch everything. Please, can you read that chapter a third time? So Mark read it a third time. And at the end of the debate, the Muslim guy conceded that if we accept what the Bible says, then Jesus did claim to be God. Now, another debate is, do they accept the Bible as completely reliable? But Mark was really thrilled that they would actually say that at the end of the debate, that, you know, if you take what the Bible says, then Jesus clearly claimed to be God. And in that debate, there was a young Warwick graduate, undergraduate in his final year. And he goes to the church that my daughter and her husband attend. Rachel and Samuel, they lead the 18s to 30s ministries there. And this young student, Jacob, he was due to graduate this summer, and then he'd volunteered to do a gap year for the church here in Coventry. So he's talking to my daughter in, I think, the end of beginning of June. He's saying, I'd like to learn how to share the gospel with Muslims. So Rachel said, well, you need to talk to my dad, because him and Mark, who did this debate every week, they're going into the city centre telling people, particularly Muslims, about Jesus. So I met up with Jacob and I said, the best thing you can do, Jacob, is go to Vision School. And this is the Vision School that was announced at the beginning of the year. So who remembers me announcing that was going to be happening in March and April? And so we had one member of the church attending that course. So well done, Carissa. She's not here right now. And what we found out later was they didn't really have enough students to run that course, but they let them run it anyway. And because they ran that course, that meant they then planned to run the course in the autumn, which many of us did. I took that photo in our Bring and Share lunch in February or March, so most of you were on there. And it's been great to invite our friends to our monthly lunches. And so we've got a lot of we've got regulars there. And there's Hannah, there's Hayley's sister Hannah, and I think a few other people, there's Holly. So it's good to invite people to come to these events. So welcome, Carissa, Vivian, and Praise. You've just missed me. Carissa, do you remember doing that Vision School course? So I've just applauded you for doing that course earlier in the year. So that was Bring and Share Lunch. It's been great to invite people. And then some of us went up to Sheffield. So these are my dynamic duo that helped me with most of the stuff I do that's outreach related. So Phil and Coralie, so they came up to Sheffield. We had a good time up there. And this is what we came up with. We had to produce a chart board with what's the legacy of our church? What's our brave legacy? What's our brave community? What's our brave calling? And what are our brave next steps? So we did all this, I think it was the beginning of March, we wrote this down. So our church legacy goes right back to 1998 when we started Kids Club. Karen and I ran youth camps for about 5 years. We started Radio Plus from this church, Radio Plus Christian radio station. We ran a job club for about 5 years with mainly Muslim women, helping them find jobs. We've been doing a monthly community lunch, and now we're running Alpha. And when Mark and Alia came along, we really started focusing on reaching out with the gospel to Muslims. And so our community, that's the photo I showed you earlier on. So the drawings are by Phil here, if you want to admire the artwork. We are a multi-ethnic family culture as a church. And I think we've increased the number of nations in our church. We've got more nations in our church now than we did at the beginning of the year. Who's glad about that? So, yeah, we welcome Eritrea and Algeria to our list of nations coming along. We have a go mindset. So that's good, isn't it? And then what else? We are up on the calling here. We can all identify and pray for people of peace. Who's got some people of peace that you're praying for? Most of us. So that's an ongoing work. The Alpha course, we've had people doing the Alpha course. So it's great to have Stuart with us. Joined us again just recently through doing the Alpha course, and we're reaching out to various people, and our brave next steps. Here I put encourage the whole church to do an 8-week training for short-term mission. So that was the Vision School, and so 7 of us did that course. And here's Carissa and Vivian. Well done. Let's give them a round of applause. Carissa graduated from Vision School, and there's Diana and Ryan. So she was our first Vision School graduate of 2025. And some of us went to the British Museum in May. So some of you appear on there. So what's missing from that photo are Coralie and Jean. Who else was there? And your mum, Sue. So that's us outside the British Museum. We had a great time looking at all the evidence for the Bible in the British Museum. And big thanks to Alex for it was his idea to do that. That was me and Karen at my Oxford College. They allowed the wives to come along for the 500th anniversary. Spouses, yeah. And I say to people, my dining room in heaven in my mansion will be a bit bigger than that. So talking about the glory of the Lord shining upon us, amen. So that's about as glorious as I can get in this body. I put my black tie on and we scrub up as much as possible. But we have better things to come, amen. So this was the course in Derby. So I think Phil wins the prize for featuring in most of my photos. But he tends to follow me wherever I go. and that's my mum. And who knows who that is? Macaulay. He's the energizer bunny of the Coventry Christian scene. And he's raring to go as well. So we must let him know what's going on since Vision School. I haven't seen him since Vision School. So we were in Derby, and that's where my mum met some missionaries from the Middle East, where she is as we speak. And this missionary said, my mum is 86. She said, what's the maximum age you take people on mission? And the South Korean guy who founded the organisation said 90. She said, right, I'm going then. So I said to her, well, if this trip goes well, you can come with me to Morocco. So that was a wonderful time. This is our Bible study. So we launched a Bible study in September. So that was probably one of the meetings with the youngest average age of the Bible study, but we keep going every week. It was quite warm. I'm not sure why Coralie's still got a woolly hat and coat on, but I should probably... never mind. So if you're free on a Wednesday night, why don't you come and join us? We all look happy, don't we? And there's my Bible there. Look at the size of Jacob's Bible. Pretty impressive. So come along to the Bible study. We're going through the book of Acts. So we started Acts chapter 1 in September. We're up to Acts chapter 7. And it's a powerful stuff, amen. And we're not studying it just for intellectual stimulation. We want to do what they did in the book of Acts, amen. So it's very inspiring, because when we go to the nations, we can expect the same things to happen to us as happened in the book of Acts, amen. And there's Mark and Alia and Tabitha. Sorry, Mark, Hope, and Tabitha. So that was the only photo I could find of them. That's taken, I think they moved to Oxford, so I think that's taken somewhere in Oxford. But they'll be with us next Sunday. Any of those photos prompt anyone to want to share any thanksgivings or for the year ahead before I carry on? Just wave at me. So this was another scripture God gave me for this year. 1 Timothy chapter 6, true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Who's content with what you have in life? That's good. You are wealthier than maybe someone that has billions of pounds or dollars, but is not content. And godliness with contentment is great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world. So we've had our youngest member of the congregation joined us this year. Very joy. She brought nothing with her into this world. Sorry? Smiles. Smiles, yeah. Smiles are good. But no possessions, no clothes, no food, no cars, no houses. And when we leave this world, we can't take anything with us when we leave it. I was at two funerals recently of Christian believers, very joyful occasions, celebrating a life lived for Jesus with much fruit. But you know, you can't take anything with you. You can't take your car, your house, your watch, your keys, your wallet, nothing. All you can take with you are the people that you've led to the Lord. Amen? So they're the only things you're going to have to show for the time you spent on this earth. So it's good to think about that, isn't it? Think about how many people are going to be in heaven because of the way I live in 2026. So I really, that's what I'm aiming for. I want to have riches in heaven. And verse 8, so if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Who's got enough food and clothing? Yeah, you all look pretty well clothed to me, and no one's looking very hungry. So we can be content. Amen. People who long to be rich. In other words, if you put money as your number one goal in life, you're going to fall into temptation. You're going to be trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge you into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. And I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. For at just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He alone can never die. And he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye has ever seen him nor ever will. All honour and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So we know that in these bodies we can't see God. But when we leave these bodies, Jesus returns in 2026, then we'll be caught up to meet him in the air, and our bodies will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, and our bodies will become like Jesus' resurrection body, and with those eyes we can see him and his light that is so brilliant. Hallelujah. And this scripture really helped me this year. I got it at the beginning of January. Part of the way through the year, I was encouraged to apply for a job where I work that would have doubled my salary, and I was seriously tempted to do it. But then I was reminded of this scripture I got. When I read this again, I realized that the only reason I would do that is money, and that is not a good enough reason to do anything. We should only do things as Christians that we think God has called us to do. And I felt clearly God was saying, no, that's not my plan for you. And I'm so glad I didn't, because that is such a stressful job. So John 6:63, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. Tell the person next to you, human effort accomplishes nothing.
Human effort accomplishes nothing.
When I left school, I worked for a large British multinational electronics and tech company called GEC. They had six factories around Coventry, and I think I went and worked in all of them during my training. None of them are owned by GEC. A lot of them have been demolished, and that company went bankrupt, sadly. And it kind of struck me that human effort is not really worth investing our whole life into. People spent their whole lives working for that company, invested their whole time, and it's gone without a trace. And what matters, Jesus said, the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And this is one of my favourite scriptures, Philippians chapter 3. It's a great one to read at the end of one year, at the beginning of another year, because it reminds us what our priorities should be. The Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write these words. And this is his mindset, this is his mental attitude that caused him to live one of the most successful human lives that has been lived. So let's just read this together. This is my last scripture. So Philippians 3. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. We can widen that out to people who say you must do things to be saved. Circumcision is one particular example taken from the time of the early church, where some Jewish people were trying to persuade Christians who weren't Jews, maybe from modern day Turkey, Greece or Italy, that they had to be circumcised to be saved. And Paul said, that is not true. You do not need to be circumcised. These days, Muslims say that you must work hard and you must do all these good deeds to be saved. Jehovah's Witnesses say you must do lots of good deeds to be saved and to get to heaven. But Paul says, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved, they are to be watched out for. That is not true. Verse 3, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. In other words, we're truly acceptable to God. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. If anyone in here thinks you can go to heaven because of your effort, this says not. Okay, you cannot go to heaven by your human effort. You can only go to heaven by relying on what Jesus Christ has done for you. Who believes that? Amen. Isn't that a weight off our shoulders? Because when I was trying to please God with my own effort, and I did try for several years to win God's favor by my own efforts before I realized it was a completely impossible thing to do, when I realized that Jesus Christ had already made the way for me to go to heaven through his perfect sacrifice, a tremendous weight and condemnation lifted off me. We put no confidence in human effort. Verse 4, Paul is talking personally now. Though I, Paul, could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable. So I've missed out his list. So between verse 4 and verse 7, he lists about 10 things like his birth. He was born as a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. He got circumcised when he was 8 days old. He was following the Jewish law, the Torah, as a Pharisee, the very strict Orthodox Jews. So he lists all that. And then in verse 7, at the end of his list, he says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. What he's saying is you cannot put a value or a price on knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord. It's worth more than this world. The Bible tells us this world will be destroyed one day. It will be completely renovated. God will use fire to completely remodel it. And so we just won't recognize anything in the new world. Only knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord has value to take you from this world into the new world. Amen. Who's looking forward to living on a perfect planet? I mean, I like this one a lot. As messed up as it is, there's so much beauty, even around Bedworth and Coventry, which isn't the top 10 city of the world to live in, I don't think. But if you know where to look, you can see beauty, can't you? The rivers, the lakes, the woodlands, just even around Coventry and Bedworth or Warwickshire. The new world is going to be perfect as God designed this world to be. And how do we get there? By knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. I can't get you there. You can't get me there. I have to trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord. You have to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord, the King of your life. carry on. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. Or I think that's an American word, isn't it? Rubbish. I have to put the wheelie bins out every week. I have to empty the kitchen bin into the wheelie bin. I do all that. Who does that? Anyone else here? Is that your job? Yeah. Mainly men, a few women. But, you know, nobody likes rubbish. That's why we throw it away. And what Paul is saying here is, if you look at anything else, comparing it to knowing Christ Jesus as your Lord, it's rubbish. I think the word he used in the Greek is like dung, dog muck. Some of us have dogs. I'm always grateful I don't have a dog when I see all these walkers bending down with a little plastic bag. We used to have a dog. It's one of the benefits of not having a dog. But I know they're wonderful for those of you that have them. But what goes in those little black bags, that's what Paul thinks of everything else in this world in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord. Elon Musk owns the Tesla Motor Company. Wouldn't have impressed Paul. You know, he would say to Elon Musk, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord? And if Elon Musk was to say no, Paul would say, well, your Tesla Motor Company is dog muck. That's what you've got if you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord. You're making a bad choice. Amen. So I'm just explaining the Bible here. I think this is accurate Bible interpretation. It's a bit, perhaps too much information for you on a Sunday morning, but I think that's what Paul's saying here. Where was I? I've lost my place in this garbage. Where's garbage? Up. Got it. Right. For this sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, cow dung, so that I could gain Christ. And I can remember when I gave my life to Jesus. I was 10 years old, but I had been saying no to Jesus for at least 3 years. I had been deceived. I had my own little group of friends. I was in charge of my life. I liked doing things my way. And we got up to lots of mischief and things I'm ashamed of now. But I recognized that what I had was like garbage. I needed Jesus Christ. So I said yes to Jesus. I opened the door of my life to him and I asked him to be the Lord of life. And at that age, I gained Christ. And that's been the greatest gain of my life. And Paul says, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. You could ask me how many times I've read the Bible this week. You could ask me, you know, how many times I've loaded the dishwasher, how many times I've prayed, how many times I've given money to the poor. And I would say to you, it's irrelevant in terms of me getting into heaven. And if I asked you the same questions, you could say, look, John, it doesn't matter. I'm trusting in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And therefore, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. And what we find when we put our faith in Christ, we end up keeping the Ten Commandments more than when we were trying to in our own efforts. Amen. You do it supernaturally, naturally. You know, I don't want to tell lies anymore. I don't want to steal. I don't want to break my marriage covenant with Karen. I don't want to do those things because of the Holy Spirit's transforming power in my life. Amen. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Who believes in the word of God? Okay. And our goal for 2026 is to believe God's words more than we did last year. You can tell whether what you believe by what you do. Amen. You know, if I shout, fire, there's a fire in the room, there's a fire. If you believe me, you'll run out the fire exit. If you think I'm just pulling your leg, you'll stay where you are. When we're reading the Bible, if God tells us to do something, if you believe it, what will you do? you'll do it, okay? And our big scripture, our big command for 2026 is go into all the world and preach the gospel to the nations. Amen? So if you believe that, you'll do it. And the good news for those of you that don't like going to other countries is there are so many nations in Coventry, you basically just need to go down the city centre. So if you haven't done that yet, I invite you to come with me in 2026 on a Saturday morning if you're not working. Just message me. Coralie said to me a couple of weeks ago, I need to go and do some outreach. Will you come with me? I said, yes. And we met in a bay. He's already a believer, praise God. But he's found a church. He's found, he's great to, he's been a, you've been a blessing to us. And we've been a blessing to you just over a few weeks. So how many more young people, particularly young guys, around the city centre will be here? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we've got some empty chairs here. Be good to fill them up, wouldn't it, with people from other nations that have come here. And, you know, many of them don't know Jesus. Thank God Nabe did meet the Lord before he came here. And if you talk to him, he'll share how God helped him get here, because it's a very dangerous journey from Eritrea that he was trusting God and got here. So, I've lost my place again. Right, so, verse 10. For God's way of making us right with us depends on faith. I was talking about faith. And Coralie's setting off on Friday. Coralie, it takes faith. You will feel afraid, but faith means you do it anyway. You do what God says anyway. I remember when I went on my own on a mission trip to Hungary, there were people from all over the world there, but I was the only one from the UK. So like my mum did on Tuesday, I got on a plane, I flew out there. I ended up in the middle of Hungary, stranded at a railway station a couple of miles outside the town. I had to get there within half an hour before the boat left down the River Danube. I didn't have any Hungarian currency, and nobody I'd spoken to on the train spoke any English. So that's when you need help. I was faith. God had told me to go. I was in a pickle. So I turns round. Everyone else has jumped on the buses, and there's a guy standing right next to me, just standing there watching everyone go. So I turned to him, I said, do you speak English? He said, yes. So I said, I need to get into the center of Dunajvaros. Can you help me? He said, yes, come with me. So I follow him, goes into the railway station, it's empty, goes up to the ticket. There's one woman in the ticket office. He starts talking to her in Hungarian. So I'm standing there watching. She locks the door of the ticket office, comes round, and the man says, come with me. So we follow her. She's got her car parked around the back of the train station. We get in her car. She drives me and this guy into the centre of town. There's a big square about twice the size of Broadgate. The road goes right the way through the middle. We stop in the middle. Me and this guy get out of the car. I thank her. She drives off. I turn to thank this guy, and there's no one there. I look across the sticker. I can hear some worship music in the distance. I look across the square and there's a poster, one of the evangelistic posters. I follow the music. I meet the team. I get on the boat. So often it's when you go out on a branch for the Lord. Amen. Dave Jewell said fruit grows at the end of the limb. Okay. If you're hugging the trunk, you're not going to see fruit. He says you've got to go out on a limb for the Lord. And so that's the only time I know I've met an angel. That was an angel, yeah. And because if you've tried asking people in ticket offices at train stations to give you lifts to places, see how that works. It's never worked for me before. But anyway, so that's faith, verse 10. We're going to finish this passage. I did invite you all to chip in and you haven't, so I'm just keeping going. Right, verse 10. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Who would like some of that in 2026? Amen. You can end, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can end 2026 with more of the resurrection power of Jesus working in your life than now. Amen. I'm particularly talking to us older ones in the room. Hallelujah. Resurrection power. Where am I? I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. So that's a true sign of maturity in Christ, if you can say that. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Amen. So we can forget what's happened in 2025 because we need to give all of our time and attention now to what God has prepared and planned for us in 2026. Amen. We have a heavenly prize. That heavenly prize is Jesus welcoming you to heaven and saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have done everything I called you to do, everything I created you to do, everything I commanded you to do." Amen. And if we've done that, there will be a lot of people in heaven because of us. Amen. And they'll be waiting. They'll be in a queue after Jesus to thank you. Amen. And there's a German man called Uwe Plöter who shared the gospel with me. He's in heaven now, but I'm going to be thanking him. And, you know, there are people I've led to the Lord as well. But so I think that's those are the questions we had a year ago. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you about this year? So we'll change the date to 2026. What is the biggest obstacle to you growing closer to the Lord Jesus in your life right now? Why don't you fast? So I'm going to do a 3-week fast at the beginning of January. I'm going to invite you to join me in that, really, so we can be listening to what God's saying. Why don't you fast, stop, eliminate those things for the next 3 weeks to spend more time with Jesus? Now, what you fast is up to you. I don't do a complete food fast, but I fast things that distract my attention from the Lord. The purpose of the fast is so I can spend more time listening to the Lord, reading his word, listening to Christian books or good teaching, so I can hear more clearly. So I do fast certain foods. But for each person, you need to decide, if I wanted to really hear God speaking to me clearly for the year ahead, what would I need to stop doing in order to hear his voice more clearly? And that's what you need to fast, okay? Could be social media, could be whatever it might be. What is your biggest fear, anxiety, or worry? Let's change that to 2026. Why don't you pray and give that fear to King Yeshua, the Anointed One? And who are your people of peace at the moment? Ask the Holy Spirit, what is the next way you want me to reveal Jesus to them? So we're trusting God for some more people to do the Alpha course in 2026, and it'd be great if some of your people of peace could do that.